debate I have with me are, what if the old person, old people who used to do the Smashy Business Show before I joined? Worth, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be
we
back with you guys.
We miss your energy and your charisma on this show. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. Should we just get right into it?
Yeah, let's get right into it. First of all, let's talk about the biggest news that I saw in the morning. UAE has been called a startup nation, and it's not being said by any person. It's been said by the RAC ruler, Ras Al Khaimah ruler, Sheikh Saud bin Sakar Al Qasmi. His Highness has said that UAE has risen as a startup nation. Anything and everything that you see in this country is a startup.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about SMEs, micro SMEs, small and medium enterprises, micro medium enterprises. We always talk about that 90% of the businesses in the UAE are MSMEs, very complicated acronym. But yeah, so we always talk about this, and now one of the executive council members, one of the leaders of one of the Emirate in the UAE has said it, has put a stamp on it, literally, that we are a startup nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with proactive measures, he said that Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Ras Al Khaimah, all the Emirates, Sharjah, Umm Al Quwain, they have all helped UAE transition into a regional hub. And it has become a global powerhouse in digital assets. That's what the main focus was. There is a firm that's called RAC DAO Digital Assets Oasis. They've opened it in Ras Al Khaimah.
Yeah.
And it's like the first free zone for digital assets. So he was speaking at one of their events. So he said that the UAE is attracting major players. And he gave the example of Binance, one of the biggest crypto exchanges in the world by market capitalization. They're here in Dubai, they've set up. So yeah, the Digital Assets Oasis, RAC DAO, it's a free zone which was established to attract top digital asset companies, fostering digital innovation in Ras Al Khaimah and beyond. That's what the story is about.
Yeah, and you know, the reason why it matters so much is because the UAE's digital asset market, it's projected to reach $270 million by the end of 2023. Now, you know, obviously from this example, we're seeing that this is gonna create more jobs for people. You know, it's gonna create more opportunities, but much more than that, you know, I see a very, you know, hidden implication here. You know, from all these projects, we're seeing that what the UAE is really promoting now, it's like self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
It's more of market-driven strategies, and they're finally moving away from those like traditional aid-based models. Like, you know, I was just telling Majid before the show began how, you know, my father, my family, my grandfather, they came to the UAE in 1974. And, you know, my dad growing up here, he went to high school here. He didn't pay for school the way that, you know,
now we have to pay.
Yeah. Students have to do that now. Yeah. He didn't pay for that. And he even received a meal allowance.
Nice.
Yeah. When he was going to school, he'd receive an allowance. He'd receive money. And, you know, while that's great and all, that's very amazing for families.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now is that self-sufficiency is encouraged more.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, the government just being like, here, this is money, take this money, you know, use it, let it support you. What we're seeing here is that, you know, they're encouraging local and foreign talent to like grab for opportunities.
Yeah.
They're nurturing that talent.
And yeah, and we've seen that they're not doing it on like a higher level, like at the 2020. They're starting from the beginning. They're setting up universities. They're setting up educational institutions.
Yeah.
They're trying to teach not only the Emirati people, but they're trying to help the expats who live here to become self-sufficient, as you said, that they have the opportunities to go and grab them. Like they have good job opportunities.
Yeah.
If you're growing up here,
Yeah.
You see a lot more opportunities now in a lot of different fields. That's also the case.
Mm.
Usually it was oil-related fields. I remember when I was doing my bachelor's, everyone told me, oh, do petrochemical engineering, this engineering, anything related to oil and move to the Middle East. Now people are talking differently. Like, oh, go to crypto, go to this, maybe become a gamer.
Yeah.
And then you can move to the Middle East.
Yeah.
So Middle East has now created an environment where whatever you study, there is an opportunity in this country, in this region for you.
You can monetize
it.
And I think that's amazing. And I feel that the subject of self-sufficiency, it's so underrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why I'm so passionate about like aid and how horrible it is because you see it in the sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
You know, the sub-Saharan Africa, they receive the highest amount of aid, and yet they still remain entrenched in poverty. Yeah. It's because aid creates like dependent countries. You know, the government starts relying on the aid, the people start relying on the aid, or really they don't receive it at all.
I guess it's that parable or idiom that don't give the man a fish, teach him how to fish.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
So it's that, yeah, that idea, yeah, that the UAE has implemented. And to be honest, Saudi Arabia to an extent has implemented this.
Yeah.
The region is trying to come up with solutions to this problem, that let's teach people to fish. Don't just give them everything for free and expect that they'll grow. Yeah. Give them the tools and let them grow themselves.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that's why the Middle East is much more successful than the sub-Saharan Africa. They didn't just depend on their natural resources either. They didn't just depend on the oil. And I think that's quite amazing because...
But it's good that they found oil, they built a good economy around it, and now they're diversifying, moving away.
Yeah.
So they built a foundation based on this. They didn't just build a country out of nowhere. They got lucky. Thankfully, they got oil. But they were like, no, it's not luck that we're sitting on. We now need to diversify. And they went into like everything now in the UAE is an industry. Tourism is an industry. Yeah. It's not just a side hustle that you go into. Now you go into as, I'm trying to form a tourism business. I'm trying to do this business, hospitality, real estate is the biggest, to be honest. So yeah, all of this, they've created an environment to nurture startups. So people come up with an idea, start their idea. And then there's a lot of funds that are there. We'll talk about in the next story about funds in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, instead of just like relying on their resources, they made them work in tandem with everything else. Yeah. And I think that's pretty impressive. Should we move on to the next topic?
So, yeah, so ruler of Ras Al Khaimah, Sheikh Saud bin Sakr Al Qasmi, has said it. UAE is a startup nation. And talking about startups, let's move on to the next story, which is about Saudi Aramco. Saudi Aramco basically is, everyone knows what Saudi Aramco is. I don't need to tell you. But Saudi Aramco, state company, deals with oil and everything. They have a venture capital arm, which is like a money company, which has the money, and they invest into different startups, different companies, any stage startup. It's usually the early stage startups, but they also invest in Series A and B, very rarely, but they do. So yeah, Saudi Aramco's venture capital arm, Waid Ventures, has dedicated $100 million to invest in early stage AI startups. So it's not just for anyone, it's for mainly AI startups. If you have any idea about AI, you think you can create a service, something, an app or a product around AI, this is the fund that will give you the money.
Yeah.
And this move aligns with Saudi Arabia's strategy to diversify its economy and strengthen its non-oil sector. What we've seen is UAE and Saudi have this very healthy race going on to become the hub for AI. We've reported on it a lot. The NVIDIA chips, they came to UAE, H100s, I remember. Saudi Arabia is trying to get the NVIDIA chips, the latest ones, which can support the whole AI infrastructure, H200s. And UAE is also going to get H200s soon enough. But obviously, the political turmoil that is happening, that US doesn't want NVIDIA chips to go to Saudi because they think they work with China, so somehow the chips may land in China. But apart from all of that, these hubs, they've created an environment for AI where whatever you're doing in AI, they will support you. They will give you space. You can come in, you can find venture capitalists ready to invest in you, investors ready. Anyone is ready to invest in AI startup right now.
Yeah, and if you look at the numbers, they're so impressive. You know, Saudi Arabia, it's become the region's top destination for venture capital, surpassing the UAE itself in 2022 with startups raising $1.3 billion in funding. That is pretty impressive. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is showing how, you know, Saudi Arabia might overshadow the UAE. Might. Just
it's
might.
Good, it's a good race. We always talk about it. Yeah. It's a very good race. I love this competition between UAE and Saudi Arabia. And they're like I would say 70 to 80% of the whole region,
yeah,
economy-wise, they are the biggest in the Middle East. We've seen other countries grow up as well. Egypt's startup scene is very good. A lot of startups are coming out of there. But obviously, when they grow, they don't find enough help in their country, so they move to UAE. So we've seen a lot of startups. We recently reported that Swivel, they opened a regional headquarter in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi has this rule that if you don't have a regional headquarter in Saudi, you don't get government contracts. So they moved here. So they're creating policies, they're creating an environment where startups from the region are coming here. And not only the region, the whole world's a startup. I remember Hub 71 story that we did. There's like, out of the 26 startups, 14 were from outside of the Middle East. So from Europe, from Ireland, from Canada, startups are coming here, setting up everything in the hubs like Hub 71 in Dubai's different startup cohorts. And they come here, they know they can get access to people who have the money. So these hubs, they help you get introduced to an investor. A lot of investors, they keep visiting these hubs to see what is happening, what is not. I remember there's a Mohammed bin Rashid Innovation Fund in Dubai as well. So one of the startups you reported about, they're a part of that. A lot of startups come out of these hubs because these hubs provide you the networking opportunities.
Yeah.
So if you have an idea, you're working on it, you built a prototype, now you need money to scale it.
I agree with you.
Whole setups, they give you that opportunity through events, through networking sessions, through conferences, small conferences. DMCC Crypto Center, I remember we reported on it.
But
so there's a lot of hubs. You have a startup, you believe in it, just come here and do whatever you want to do. They will support you.
I think, you know, even more significantly, what's really special about WAAD's recent investments, it's that, you know, just to give you a bit of information on the company and, you know, what really makes them special, they're a financial technology company that offers Sharia compliant investment services.
Nice.
And, you know, maybe to, you know, the average like American or just somebody living somewhere else, this does not seem that significant, but you know, for people who are Muslims, this is this will make them rely on them.
The whole Sharia compliant thing is a whole industry in itself.
Yeah.
Muslim Islamic banking is there, Sharia compliant investment is there. All these things, they create a whole industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
And an industry people can trust, especially for the region that they're in.
Yeah.
You know, this concept, it's pretty relevant to the region that they're in. And even more impressively, by the way, you know, WAAD, like they're really getting their claws into everything. Like they, not only this recent investment, but, you know, recently they included stakes in this Korean AI chip company known as Rebellions and California's AI Explain. Which I think is pretty insane. They're really expanding their power. They are. They're getting their claws into everything.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of the big sovereign wealth funds that we have in the UAE and Saudi. Saudi's biggest one is PIF, Public Investment Fund. Everyone knows about it. But in the UAE, you have a lot of them. In Abu Dhabi, you have three. ADIA, ADQ, Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, ADQ. Then there's another one. I'm forgetting the name. There's actually four big. All of these, they have the money, they want to invest, and they're helping the UAE move away from oil. So they're looking for industries. Saudi, I saw recently, maybe you heard the news, PIF recently bought a very big stake in one of the Sotheby's. They bought shares in Sotheby's. Wherever you see an investment in a startup or even in a big company, you will see one name, one venture capitalist firm or one investment firm which will belong to UAE or the Saudi Arabia. So that's really great. They don't want to miss out on any opportunity. So they you usually say put your eggs in all the basket, in the various baskets. They've put their eggs in all the baskets. They're like, no, we're not missing out on AI. We're not missing out on tourism. We're not missing out on real estate. So that's a great thing. I don't think anyone in the history has done this, that they've invested so much capital into so many things. I remember there's like
But is that always a good thing? Like quick expansion?
You see, right now, with UAE and Saudi Arabia, they have disposable income. They have the money that they can invest. So one thing that is good that is coming out of it is that if they invest into 10 things, If one of them or two of them fail, eight of them are successful. So they cover the losses somehow. And obviously, they do their homework. They've hired the best talent there for investment in the world. Apart from that, the best agencies, the best companies in the world who know investment in and out, who know the A to Z's and one to gazillions of investment, they're based in Abu Dhabi Global Market. They're based in Dubai. So you can always consult them. So they're not just like throwing money away.
Yeah.
They're making very calculated moves, which is good. You need to know the numbers. They go into a startup. They know after 10 years, this will scale up into this big thing. And that is why we're investing. Obviously, there are shortfalls. Sometimes they invest in stuff which doesn't work out. But other things are always covering up for them.
Yeah.
So the ratio right now, if you see, if you do a quantitative or qualitative analysis, the ratio is good. It's like 10 times if they invest, 8 or 9 times they're successful. So they're fine with it, I guess. Some other things about Wyatt Ventures. An advisory board of global AI leaders has been made, including experts from companies and institutions like Meta. Everyone knows Meta, Amazon, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Oxford. So this will be an advisory board.
Yeah.
And it has been appointed to help guide investments and promote localization for international startups. So yeah, this fund, the $100 million fund, is not for locals only. If you're an international startup, you can come and they will help you. This advisory board will help you localize your startup as well.
Yeah, it's definitely attracting more people to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They're going to have more tourists, for sure.
Tourist-wise, so they've, I remember they achieved their 2030 target this year in the second quarter, first half.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, they had like a target of 2-something million, 240 or something million tourists. They've already achieved it. So yeah, they have like 6 more years to increase that target. So it's good that they're setting realistic targets and achieving them even before 2030. So yeah, this is the story that happened. Last story for today is Abu Dhabi film rebate increases to 35% amid regional competition. First of all, let's explain what a rebate is. It's like a cashback you get from the government when you shoot in their country or city. So Abu Dhabi Film Commission, they've increased it from 30% to 35%. So it's basically the idea to attract more and more people.
Yeah.
I was explaining so, to Wyatt, Word that, for example, you spend 100 dirhams or 100 million dirhams on your production in the UAE.
You get 35 million back.
So yeah, you get 35 million back in cash back. So that's a good thing. The discount for
that's pretty impressive. It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's even better because it's going to attract, you know, the Hollywood industry, the Bollywood industry.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is, I am very bad with names.
It's okay.
The movie about the Nobel laureate won a Nobel Prize in physics.
In physics.
I'll remember the name. Give me 2 minutes. Let's talk about this story. It has the guy in it.
The guy.
Very bad with names.
Which guy?
Yeah. What was the movie?
Nobel Prize in physics.
Yeah. It's about the guy who basically said that you don't grow by making things. Not everyone doing a specialization is not good.
Goodwill Hunting?
Yeah, it's kind of Goodwill Hunting. It's kind of
Goodwill
Hunting. Yeah, Goodwill Hunting is like third or fourth on my list as well. So, yeah. Mission Impossible. I'll say action-wise.
Really,
Mission
it
Impossible.
Bored me, by the way.
Yeah,
I was
the
so bored.
Latest version, obviously, Tom Cruise is not that young as well. So yeah, he's getting older. Yeah, but he's doing good. But this rebate is starting from January 1, 2025. So at the end of this year, the Abu Dhabi Film Commission will increase its film and TV production rebate from 30 to 35%. Move is designed to attract productions from Hollywood, Bollywood, and the Arab world to film in the UAE capital. We've already seen 150 productions since 2013 when this rebate structure was
started.
They
filmed Dune Part 1, I believe, in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And also Mission Impossible.
Dead Reckoning, Part 1 was here. Star Wars The Force Awakens were here. Fast and Furious 7, I remember that car scene, like jumping from Burj Khalifa or something.
You know what's also so interesting? The UAE created a rebate from 30% to 35%, but Saudi Arabia actually has a rebate of 40%.
Yeah, that now, is what they're trying to do. They're basically trying to beat Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Because the NEOM project, I remember, they have a whole production city planned under NEOM. Oh, by the way, NEOM's first physical location has opened, Sindala. Just to add something, Sindala has opened. Everyone can now go there, plan their trips to Sindala. So the very first physical location of NEOM is open. And it's a yacht hub. It's a very luxury tourism hub. So yeah, a lot of money involved as well if you want to go there. But yeah, it's a yachting hub. It's like an island. So you can go and enjoy the island life there. So coming back to the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia has, again, Saudi Arabia is trying to beat UAE. UAE is trying to beat Saudi Arabia. Again, very good competition and helps the consumers, in this case, the film production companies.
I think it's so interesting that, you know, Saudi Arabia is allowing these companies to pay less by giving them 40%. But at the same time, I think it's often underestimated how much tourism a film could bring to the country.
Yeah.
Like especially for people who are like geeks obsessed with these films. Trust me, they will visit the location.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard over the years, like a lot of times I've seen like people go to the Harry Potter station.
Yeah, I want to go so badly.
Yeah, so a lot of movie sets which become famous, usually people go there. They want to see how, they just want to get the feel of the place. So yeah, it's a good thing. To be honest, it's a very good thing for UAE and Saudi Arabia.
I think it's also going to create more leisurely activities. Yeah. Like sometimes, to be honest with you, because, you know, obviously it's tough to always go walking in Dubai. It's not, it's not, do you know what I mean? It's not like London where you can just keep walking and walking and walking. So it's kind of hard to find things to do other than let's go to the mall. You know,
let's go to
Global Village.
Eatery.
Yeah, so it's nice to have like different things to do. Because sometimes I feel like they're a bit repetitive here. Slightly.
Yeah, it becomes repetitive if you start living here.
Because
I came as a tourist a lot of times and I was never bored. But now, obviously, you've been to every place nearly and you're like, okay, I've been to this place. Do I want to go again? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want to, obviously, because, for example, Global Village, every year it opens, I go 3 or 4 times at least. It's just that thing that you, it's just the feeling of going there. Oh, new pavilion, or new this. Maybe I find something new. So, yeah, you need those kind of projects. So, Global Village is one of the things that I do every year. I just went, like, on the weekend. So
I'm waiting for it to get a bit colder. I'm not fooled. It's still kind of hot.
No, you don't sweat. I went and I spent, like, 2 hours there. You're not sweating, but it's not that cold. So, yeah, around December, everything will be perfect. And obviously, when the weather gets better, you won't get a place to walk there. It'll be so full. But the new, the newer pavilions, they had a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, so that was the good sign that it keeps on attracting.
Do you have any
people.
Recommendations?
Recommendation wise, the problem is I go with my son and I keep running after him and I keep seeing stuff. So yeah, if you're going there, maybe if your son or daughter is sleeping, if you have kids, then go. Otherwise, if you're going there, just wear good shoes, good running, walking shoes. That's the best advice I would give anyone. Otherwise, you'll enjoy. They're getting fireworks. I was sitting there. I was there around 8:30-ish, 9-ish. They had fireworks, so they're doing that. Drone shows happen. So every pavilion that you go to, they have their own local performance happening. So yeah, whenever you go, just go whenever it opens, like around 4, 5-ish or 6. Right now, I guess the opening time is 6. But as the winter comes, it'll come back to like 4 p.m., so go as soon as it opens and stay there till the night.
Hmm.
And go to every section, see every local performance. You'll love it.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
For sure. Just back to the topic, even more interestingly, due to this, you know, 30% to 35% rebate, for every dirham spent on the rebate, ADFC reports 3 dirhams are returned to the local economy.
Hmm. Nice.
That's
so yeah, if
good.
They're paying back 35%, like 35 million, they think they're getting back nearly 90-100 million back in terms of tourism, in terms of also, we're talking about the talent.
Yeah,
the local
the media
talent,
landscape.
Yeah,
it's
so
really
the local talent,
bolster
if
it.
They work with a Hollywood big production, they learn a lot. So there's talent grooming as well. It's not just about money. It's also about developing local talent. And the Saudi Arabia movie industry, we just reported it, they had the best quarter in this year in Q3. A lot of people went to see movies. And the good part was that the local movies created a lot of business. They sold a lot of tickets. So that is happening in Saudi Arabia. In UAE, I've never like gone deep into the UAE movie industry. I want to know what's happening in here. But usually what I see is right now it's international productions mainly. Even if you go to cinemas, there's like one or two local movies. Apart from that, it's all Bollywood and Hollywood.
Yeah.
So UAE most probably will start producing their own, they will create their own cinema industry. And this is one of the signs that they're trying to do that. So yeah, the EDFC team in collaboration with 2424 and the Creative Media Authority is actively promoting the updated rebate. They want to like tell people less money spent, so come, and related production opportunities at MIPCOM in Cannes. So yeah, they're doing their marketing there. Abu Dhabi's Golden Visa program is also there, introduced in 2019, provides residency benefits to international media professionals, positioning the city as an attractive destination for talent seeking stability and growth opportunities. More details on the rebate will be revealed, obviously, with time. So yeah, this is all that is happening in the world of business right now. We'll take your leave now. But before that, if you've missed any part of the show, you can go to YouTube, go to live and see the show, or you can go to the Smashy TV app, smashy.tv, subscribe and see our today's show and the shows from the past. If you want to learn about anything that we've talked about, apart from that, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Wherever you will you want to find us, just write Smashy Business and you will find us.
Yep.
We're everywhere. And if you don't have time to look at us, like listen to us, maybe put on your headphones, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now YouTube Music. They've moved on to YouTube Music. Anghami, wherever there is a listening podcast, we're also there. So yeah, Smashy Business is there as well. We have a newsletter which comes out every day, 6:30 a.m. in the morning. So it can be your first read to get the idea of what is happening in the business world. Subscribe to that. You can go to any link, or you can, if you're listening or watching somewhere, we'll put the link in the comments or in the description. Just watch, just go and subscribe to our newsletter. Thank you very much. This is the Smashy Business
Show.
Word
Tune
is
in
back
tomorrow
with us, and hopefully she'll be with us every day now. So yeah, welcome back, Word, again.
Thank you.
This is the Smashy Business Show, a part of the Smashy production, which is part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have 1.3 million listeners across all listening platforms every month. So yeah, I tell that number because I want to say that if you're one of those listeners, we're very thankful that you listen to us every day. Keep listening and keep watching if you're watching.
And remember to have a good day.
Yeah, have a
productive
very
day.
Good, great day. Thank you very much. Take care. See you on Tuesday.